Nahum chapter 3. Woe to the bloody city! It is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not. The noise of a whip and the noise of the rattling of the wheels and of the prancing horses and of the jumping chariots. The horseman lifteth up both the bright sword and the glittering spear, and there is a multitude of slain and a great number of carcasses, and there is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses. Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts, that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness and the kingdoms thy shame. And I will cast abominable filth upon thee, and make thee vile, and will set thee as a gazing stock. And it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee, and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Whence shall I seek comforters for thee? Art thou better than populous snow that was situate among the rivers, that had the waters round about it, whose rampart was the sea, and her wall was the sea? Ethiopia and Egypt were her strength, and it was infinite. Put and Lubim were thy helpers. Yet she was carried away, she went into captivity. Her young children also were dashed in pieces at the top of all the streets, and they cast lots for her honorable men, and all her great men were bound in chains. Thou also shalt be drunken, thou shalt be hid, thou also shalt seek strength because of the enemy. All thy strongholds shall be like fig trees with the first ripe figs. If they be shaken, they shall even fall into the mouth of the eater. Behold, thy people in the midst of thee are women. The gates of thy land shall be set wide open unto thine enemies. The fire shall devour thy bars. Draw thee waters for the siege. Fortify thy strongholds. Go into clay and tread the mortar. Make strong the brick kiln. There shall the fire devour thee. The sword shall cut thee off. It shall eat thee up like the cankerworm. Make thyself many as the cankerworm. Make thyself many as the locusts. Thou hast multiplied thy merchants above the stars of heaven. The cankerworm spoileth and fleeth away. Thy crowned are as the locusts, and thy captains as the great grasshoppers which camp in the hedges in the cold day. But when the sun ariseth, they flee away, and their place is not known where they are. Thy shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria. Thy nobles shall dwell in the dust. Thy people is scattered upon the mountains, and no man gathereth them. There is no healing of thy bruise. Thy wound is grievous. All that hear the bruit of thee shall clap the hands over thee, for upon whom hath not thy wickedness passed continually? May the Lord bless this reading of his word this afternoon. Open in prayer.
Well, let's stand together and we'll open in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this morning's service. Thank you for speaking to us. And Father, we do ask, Lord, that you would speak to us again. And Father, that we would yield to your will. Father, we thank you for the food. We thank you for everybody that participated. We thank you, Lord, for Rowan, who has put forth the time and effort to finish his early education. And we ask, Lord, that you would guide and direct him for future plans. And Father, that you would have your hand upon him, your hand of protection, your hand of guidance. May he keep his eyes on you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Songbooks 590, Sound the Battle. Can y'all sing Sound the Battle Cry with a full stomach? You can. All right, let's go. Amen.
I can try. 590.
Sound the battle cry, see the foe is nigh, raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on, stand firm everyone, rest your cause upon his holy word. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng. Strong to meet the foe, marching on we go, fight. Battling for the right, we ne'er can fail. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner. Ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throng. O thou God of all, hear us when we call. Help us one and all by thy grace. When the battle's done and the victory's won, may we wear the crown before thy face. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner. Ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throng.
Amen. You may be seated. We are going to sing When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, hymn number 566. Because I skipped it this morning. Hymn number 566.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Amen. Now let's turn to hymn 106. Before the message this afternoon, we'll sing Breathe on Me, Breath of God. Hymn number 106.
Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until my will is one with thine, to do and to endure. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, until this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. Breathe on me, breath of God, so shall I never die, but live with thee the perfect life of thine eternity.
Amen.
So get your bulletins out. The adults, get your bulletins out. Everybody that is younger, do not get your bulletin out. So if you're a kid, child, not quite shaving, do not get your bulletin out. Don't look at a bulletin. Don't ask anybody else about the bulletin. Okay, so if you don't have a bulletin, stand to your feet. If you don't have one open. No, and you're a kid. And you're a kid. All the children, stand to your feet. All the children, stand to your... You're not a kid. Y'all sit down. Yeah, we just celebrated your shaving, everything, underarm deodorant, all that good stuff, you know? Yeah, you're in. You're in the club, man. Yeah. So, wait, how old are you?
17.
Nah, stay seasoned. Yeah. Okay. You five. Here's the question. In the bulletin is this question. Okay? The first person that raises their hand with the answer, I have something for you. In the bulletin it says, how many days did Joshua and his army circle the walls of Jericho before they fell? Oh, she raised her hand first. How many days? How many? Okay, anybody else? Yes, sir? Seven. All right, come on up here. It is seven. All right, come on up here. See that good-looking lady right there smiling, leaning over? I call her my wife. Go see her. She's got a dollar for you. All right. Yeah. Amen. Okay, y'all can be seated. All right, so every Sunday night, I'm going to ask you guys the answer to that question. Okay, so every Sunday we have a question in the bulletin, right? Are y'all sleeping? I saw JP yawning during this earlier there. He was going, I mean, the chili, the everything else is settling down. Everything is, and I don't know if I can run around to keep y'all awake today. So, did you not have one, hon? Oh, you did. What are y'all doing? He gave it to you? No, you got to keep it. Yeah, Yeah, you earned it.
How many of you?
Yeah, see, look at all those hands in your favor. Yeah, so anyhow. But you do need to tithe on it. Oh, is that what? Amen. Praise the Lord. There you go. Praise the Lord. So we do want to give everybody an opportunity. We have an evangelist coming in next Sunday. He's going to be with us Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And we'll take up a love offering during that time. But we want to start now in case anybody wants to give to the evangelist. And we're not going to take it up this moment. We'll take it up after the service. So, Cheryl, wave, jump after the service that I don't forget. All right. Not that that usually bothers me. I've learned to ignore what's going on out there, you know. So, too many distractions. Amen. So when I tell somebody to wave me down, sometimes I don't see it because I'm just ignoring everything. So anyway, Rowan, we're excited for you, man. I mean it. It's a great, great time of life. A little scary, you know, because you're seeking the Lord. These are some, you have questions that parents can't answer right now, you know. You're following the Lord. And you just have to do what God wants you to do all the way through, you know. So, but we are excited for you. We're proud of you. So, right? Y'all proud of him?
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles, if you would, this evening and turn to Psalm 85. And every time I say this, you guys joke around and laugh and poke fun, but I'm not going to keep you long. No respect. No respect at all. And the first person that laughed, come up here so I can get you busy. Oh, that was Andrew, huh? No, I'm kidding. So if I could, ladies, come up here, please. You don't have to come up on the platform, but anybody that needs a pen, they'll wave. Who wants the pens? Here you go. You can take the pens. All right? You take the paper. Everybody gets a piece of paper. Only people that need a pen, they'll wave you and they'll let you know if they need a pen. All right? So they're going to go and pass them out. If you need a pen, wave her down. Go. Give everybody a piece of paper. Everybody gets a piece of paper. Doesn't matter where you start, how you do it. This is your ministry to the Lord. Amen. And if you need a pen, just slip your hand up and she'll bring you a pen. Okay. Good. That's okay. They'll take a minute, but that's all right. Now, only take a pen if you know how to write. Anybody need a pen over here? Everybody has one? Yeah, good, good. All right. Very good. You need a pen? Okay, sounds good. All right. Thank you. So, in school, did you get one for yourself? Did you get one? Yeah, okay, good. In school, the teacher put your desk right next to other people and said, don't look on their paper. Right? Don't understand that one. But don't look on your neighbor's paper. I don't care if you're married. I don't care if it's your child. I don't care if it's mom and dad. This is personal between you and your God. Okay? When we talk about revival, we talk about the fact that we have a guest preacher coming in. Going to be with us Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We'll have all those services. And we're excited. We're thrilled. We're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to Pastor Brown not preaching. Now, I mean that serious, you know, because let's face it, you know, it's nice to have another. It's like if I love steak, but I don't eat it every meal. Amen. You know what I'm saying? You need to switch it up. Get some Mexican sometime. Get some Italian sometime. And all that. I don't know what nationality is. But my point is that having another preacher presenting the same truth, maybe a little bit differently, is encouraging. So, yeah, Pastor Brown's not going to be preaching. Who is this guy? What's his... What is the style of his preaching? I mean, you have a lot of questions in your mind, I know, but the biggest thing that should be permeating your mind and heart is this. What is it that you need in your life from the Lord during these special meetings? Where do I need a revival? Maybe it's a revival of faith or trust. Maybe it's a revival of lifestyle. Maybe it's a revival of Bible knowledge on some things. You've been questioning some things, scripturally speaking. I don't know what it is. It can be a number of things. So I'm giving you time to ponder that. And I gave you a pen and a piece of paper. Lord, I need this from you this week. This is an area in my life. I know I need a fresh breathing from you. Whatever. Jot it down. Because I know this. Every one of us has something. That's a fact. So what is it with you? What do you desire from God? Maybe it's a lack of a desire. You need the desire, a revival in spiritual desires. I don't know. While you're praying on that, writing things down, if you are the type that can do three things at once, I'm going to read this portion of Scripture while you're working on that. And then when we're done, we'll preach this. Psalm 85, verse number 1. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all of their sin. Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. So what is it that you need from the Lord that only he can give you? That's what revival is. It's something that only God can do for you. You can't work it up. You can't muster it up. You can't pull up your bootstraps to get it done. It's only something God can do. And unless we get a hold of him, he's not going to do it. So you see at the beginning of this psalm, there's a prayer. Lord, thou hast been. So I ask you the question, why did they start this
revival psalm in prayer. The psalmist knew exactly where revival comes from. The psalmist knew exactly who to turn to for mercy and grace, forgiveness. He knew where to go, and so do you and I. There are times when we're driven to our knees. I mean, driven to our knees. We've tried everything. We have exhausted our own efforts. We've tried every way to resolve this ourselves. And when everything else fails, we're driven to our knees. We know where to go. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto this land, unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all her sin. Let's pause and reflect on that. Selah. You know, you guys hear from me all the time, and in the past 30 years, I've been accused of telling my own testimony too many times at the pulpit, telling my own life stories at the pulpit to drive home a point or whatever. But that's what he's done for me. And I'm doing the preaching. Amen? When you're having family devotions, you tell your stories. And when you're teaching a class, you tell your stories to solidify a truth. But isn't it true that God has been favorable to each and every one of us that are His? He saved us. He saved people that didn't deserve to be saved. He planted us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I love this. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. The blood of Christ. You know, since the day I got saved, never one time have I worried or fretted about answering God for my sins. Jesus Christ spoke loud and clear on the cross of Calvary. He covered our sins. He washed them away. And because of that, God forgave us. Because of His blood. That's hard for me to fathom. I can tell the things of my past that would be acceptable in a church setting. But I think we all have those dark secrets that even as saved people, we're hesitant to say. Washed away. Forgiven. And when we go to our God, we thank Him for His love and grace. We thank Him for His mercy. We thank Him for saving us, cleansing us. And He says in verse 3, Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Wow. You know, with forgiveness, wrath is automatically taken away. No more repercussion. Forgiven to God not only means forgotten about, but it means I'll never bring it up again. You won't have to answer it. And I thank God for His mercy. I've tasted the chastening of the Lord in my past. I'm sure I'll taste it again if He loves me, and I know He does. But I never have to fear His wrath because I'm in Jesus Christ. You never have to fear His wrath if you're in Jesus Christ. His loving chastening as a father does his son is bad enough at times, right? But can you imagine falling under the wrath of God, where the worm dieth not? Lord, we're so thankful. So thankful, we can't even utter the words. But as believers, the psalmist asks, turn us, O God. Now, if you need to be turned, what that means is you're going the wrong direction. Everybody in here, in some portion of their life, in some aspect of their life, needs to be turned. Might be the books that we read, the material we read, might be the things that we allow our eyes to look upon, our ears to hear, the things that we allow our hands to do. May not even be outward, it might be inward. Bitterness swells up in our heart, anger towards certain things. Turn us, O God. Turn us from those things unto a loving, gracious God. And cause thine anger toward us to cease. Does God get angry? I think we know the answer to that. But we do have to ask the question, what angers God? What is it that we do as His children that presses those anger buttons with God? Children have the knack to do that. It's a natural knack. I don't think any child, well, I take that back. I don't think most children do it deliberately. But boy, do they know how to push the buttons. And we know how to push God's buttons. And whatever it is that causes us to act in such a way that it brings God to that point, may we turn away from it. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Obviously, the context here is Israel. And obviously, the context is an anger towards a national people. But I would hope that I would live my life in such a way that God's anger would not spill over to my children. I would hope that I would live a life pleasing to the Lord, that His pleasure would spill over instead of his anger. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? You know, it's amazing when he uses the phrase again or the word again, there's an understood aspect that they've had revival in the past. God has turned them away from their sin in the past. God has brought them unto himself. God has turned them. And they did rejoice when God did this wonderful work. But look at the end of verse number 8. But let them not turn again to folly. We're like this back and forth, aren't we? We desire God's mercy. We desire God's presence. We desire to be nearer and closer to God. Why do we turn back? There's nothing but heartache when we have our back to God. There's nothing but disappointment when we have our back to God. We've tasted his goodness. I guess I will never understand. I've never been an addict, so to speak. But I'll never understand how somebody can be in prison or in jail for a year or 2 years. They're obviously not hooked on it anymore. If you can go 2 years without doing that sin, you're not hooked on it. You may desire it, you may lust after it, you may want it, but you're not hooked on it. But I'll have people get out and they'll say, I'm an addict. And they go right back into it because that's what they desire. I'm afraid that too often we fall back into what God turned us away from because the truth is we desire it. It's not just an about face or a turning away from doing. It's a turning away from the desire of it too. I told you the story of my dad. My dad started smoking cigarettes when he was preteens. He was raised on a Pennsylvania farm. I don't know. I guess the old adage, went behind the barn and smoked a cigarette. I don't know what. I don't know how it all started. I never talked to him about it. But I remember growing up, my dad would do everything to stop smoking. He'd put toothpick, every time he wanted a cigarette, he'd put a toothpick in his mouth. Every time he wanted a cigarette, he'd put sunflower seeds in his mouth. Every time he wanted a cigarette, he'd try all these little different tricks to quit smoking. And finally, one day, I don't know why I said this, one day I said, Dad, do you even want to stop smoking? And he said, no. I said, then you never will. You see, he wanted to turn away from smoking because he got tired of my mom harassing him about it. But he never stopped the desire to smoke. He smoked to the last day of his life. He never stopped it because he desired it. And whatever it is that we keep falling back to, it's because somewhere deep down in here, we've never given it to the Lord. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Verse 8, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. Wouldn't it be good if we approach these revival meetings with that on our mind? I will hear what the Lord God will speak. I will hear what he will say to me. I will hear. I will listen. I want to know what God has to say, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. How many times we've gone to the altar. We're all guilty. We've committed something to the Lord. We told the Lord, I'm not going to allow my anger. I'm not going to allow my tongue to be unleashed again on my family. And yet it happens again. Happens again. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. It's possible that one of the things that we're missing in this equation is we want mercy without truth. Well, we can't have God's mercy without God's truth. They're sisters. They're born together. Can't separate them. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. If we can come to the end of our revival meetings and say that we have revival, we've had revival, I think it's going to be evident when we can look back and say, he set us in the way of his steps. I think I told you. When I gave my life to the Lord, I was saved at 14, but I gave my life to the Lord years later. And I started a list. At the top of my list was the thing that I thought needed to be immediately changed. I mean, this is number one. If it's number one in my mind, it's got to be number one in God's mind. And so I made this long list of things that I knew had to be changed in my life if I was going to bring pleasure to God. And so I started with number one. I mean, I worked on it. I got rid of it. I did it. I mean, I conquered it. Then I went to number two. Man, I conquered it and I got rid of it, and all of a sudden, number one came back. So I had to go back and work on number one, and number two came back, and I never got off one and two. Until finally the Lord said to me, that's because you're doing it in your power and you're not doing it through my grace. It's not about a punch list of right and wrong. It's about living in Jesus Christ. Walking daily, minute by minute, in the center of his will. And if you can walk away from the revival knowing that, you've had revival. You've seen the touch of God. That's what I desire, not only for you individually, but that's what I desire for our church. Can I bring up a sore subject? Andrew says yes, so that means I can. Buddy Franklin. Buddy Franklin was a big preacher back in the day in Bangor, Maine. Big preacher. Everybody knew Buddy Franklin. I'm from Florida, and I knew Buddy Franklin. Buddy Franklin had a lot of goals for Bangor. He wanted to knock on every single door, tell every home about Jesus Christ. I remember the time that Buddy Franklin made up cassette tapes and mailed a, and on that cassette tape was a clear gospel message, and mailed a cassette tape to every home in Bangor, Maine. But Buddy Franklin turned from the Lord. And the Bangor people looked at old Buddy Franklin, didn't understand. The people who had their eyes on the Lord just see Buddy Franklin as a sinner saved by grace. Don't you desire Bangor to be turned back to the Lord? You should. If these are your people, you should desire the touch of God here in this city. Everybody knows I'm using Bangor as a broad umbrella for Brewer, Orono, Old Town, all these surrounding cities. I'm using Bangor as that broad umbrella. Well, if Bangor is going to see a touch of heaven, don't you think his people would see it first? Right here. Right here. Let's pray for a revival. Let's pray that God would touch us individually and corporately. Let's pray that God will use this church to get the gospel into every single home in this city. I believe he can. And I know you believe he can too. Let's stand to our feet and we'll pray. Father, we know that revival can only come from you. It doesn't come from a guest preacher, doesn't come from pastors, doesn't come from deacons, doesn't come from faithful membership. Revival is heaven sent. You're the giver, we're the receiver. And we're pleading that you turn us. Turn us, Lord, back to you. I'm going to ask the pianist to play. What I'm going to ask you to do, I'm going to ask you to grab your family, come up to the altar, and let's pray. We'll pray for our families. We'll pray for our church. We'll pray for our city, our world. Would you come right now?
And we'll sing that first verse as a dismissal hymn. So you can remain standing. Here we go.
Praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us.
All right, while we sing the last verse, Brother Ed's going to grab the offering plate. He's going to be at the door. If you want to give to our revival meetings, this will also be a love offering for the evangelist. Please, and we'll do this throughout the week as well. So, but Ed will be back there with the offering plate if you would, please. All right, last verse, revive us again.
Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. With fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us.
Amen. God bless you all. Thank you.